Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perikov Aleph, Chapter 21. We are getting closer and closer to the Korban, and Yecheskel's Nevuot are getting more and more desperate. He is the Tzofeh, he is the lookout, he knows what's coming. Yet in Yerushalayim, and also somewhat in Bavel, people still believe that the rebellion of Tzidkiyahu will be successful and that Bavel will fall. In this parak, Yecheskel uses sharp and harsh imagery as he goes through nevuah after nevuah, tracing the path of the sword of Bavel as it gets closer and closer. The word cherev, sword, comes up in this parak 15 times. This is the parak of the sword. The parak begins with another mashal, another allegory. Psukim Aleph through Yud describe the burnt forest of the south, and then the explanation of that mashal. Hashem tells Yecheskel to look towards the forest in the south. If you remember, Yirmiyahu told the people, "Mitzafon tipatach hara'ah al kol yoshvei ha'aretz." The evil will come from the north. In Tanakh, Bavel is in the north, and Yerushalayim is in the south. So Yecheskel, who's in Bavel, faces to the south to Eretz Yisrael. Pasukim al Hashem says, "Va'amarta liya'ar ha'negev." Say to the forest of the south, "Shma dvar Hashem." Listen to the words of Hashem. Koamar Hashem Elokim. Hineni metzi bach esh, v'achla bach kol eitz lach, v'kol eitz yavish, lo techabet lahevet shalhevet, nitzrevu kol panim minega safona. Says Hashem, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and I am going to devour every fresh tree, every green tree, and every dry tree. The flame shall not be quenched, and all the faces from the south of the north shall be burnt. All the trees will burn down. And that's the mashal. And for the first time, or one of the first times, Yecheskel actually pushes back against this mode of nevuah. And he says, "Aha, Hashem Elokim, hema omrim li, halo mimashal mishalim hu." Hashem, they always say, "Oh, he just tells parables. They don't take me seriously. They're not going to listen to what I say." And it's so interesting because Yecheskel has been telling a lot of Mishalim, and this kind of gives us an insight to how people are reacting. And also, a lot of the Mishalim that Yecheskel is saying are against the Zakenim, against the people. So maybe they really have not been liking them and haven't been thinking about them in the way that Yecheskel wants them to. In Pasuk Vav through Yud, Hashem actually listens to Yecheskel's pushback, and instead of giving him another mashal and saying, "No, we'll say this mashal," he explains the mashal and gives him the nevuah in clear and indisputable language, which is going to continue for the rest of the parak. He's told not to turn to the forest in the south, but to Yerushalayim, which is what he was talking about to begin with, and say to it, "Hineni alecha, v'hotzeiticha charbi meta'ara, v'echrati mimech tzadik v'rasha." I am coming for you. I am taking the sword out of the sheath, and it is coming for the people of Yerushalayim, and it is going to cut off from you the tzaddik and the rasha, the righteous person, and the evil person. Not the forest, but the city. Not the dry and fresh trees, but the rishayim and the tzaddikim, the people. There's no more mashal. There's just the cold, hard truth. It's a very difficult phrase, what we just said about the fact that the tzaddikim will die alongside the Rishayim. Didn't Yecheskel say that the tzaddikim with the tuff on their heads will be saved? Radak explains that once a gezeirah comes to a place, the tzaddikim die also. Clearly uncomfortable with this answer, Radak brings a second approach based on Rav Sadia Gaon, that the tzaddik and the rasha that we're talking about are actually both Baal worshippers. Those that are more committed are called the tzaddik, and those that are less committed are called the rasha. Either way, the nevuah does not hold back. There will be total destruction of Yerushalayim, and it is happening soon. In Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, the 11 and 12, Hashem tells Yecheskel to do a small maaseh simli, a symbolic action, which is he tells him, "Groan and sigh after you say this nevuah." Va'atah ben adam ha'enach b'shivron matnayim ubimirirut ta'anach le'enehem. Not just any sigh, but a sigh that shudders through your body, that breaks your hips, and do it in front of them, in front of the people, clearly, that were listening to this nevuah. Like the maaseh simli of Yecheskel being the siege against Yerushalayim, this one also represents Hashem's feelings about what's coming. And when they ask him why he is groaning, he should answer, "El shmu'ah ki ba'ah," because of the news that's coming. It's so terrible. What a sorrow that it has come to this. And then Yechezkel pivots and he describes the sword itself. He says, Ben Adam, in Pasuk Yud Daled 14, Hinabe, Giv Nevuah Va'amar, Tako Amar Hashem, So says Hashem, Emor Cherev, Cherev, Huchada V'gamuruta. The sword, it's sharpened and it's polished. Yechezkel describes in intimate detail how the sword is being sharpened, it's being prepared and polished and then given over to the hands of the killer. Letit ota piyad horeg. Yechezkel continues in verse 15, Laman tevoch tevach huchada. It's sharpened in order to slaughter. Laman heye bambarak murota. O nasis shevet bini moeset kol eitz. It's the sword is polished in order to slaughter like lightning. Let me be absolutely clear why this sword is coming, says Yechezkel. It is coming to kill. The phrase Onasi Shevet Bini Moeset Kol Eitz is an extremely hard phrase and the Mefarshim puzzle over it. The Radak explains that you should read it Onasis as a question. Could you possibly be happy and then think that it's not coming for you? The sword is going in against your enemies? And Yechezkel answers, no, Shevet Bini Moeset Kol Eitz. The staff is set against my son. And notice, like the sighing, Hashem is so sad in this parak. He calls them Bini. The sword is coming against my own child. And you feel in this parak the sadness of Hashem as he gives over this nevuot. And then once again in Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Chet, Hashem dictates Yechezkel's external reactions to his nevuah and that and how he should react after he says them. Za'ak behilel ben Adam. Cry out and wail, son of man. Ki hi haitaba ami. This is going against my people. Hi b'chol nisei Yisrael. It's going against the leaders of Yisrael. Migurei al cherev hayu el ami. The people, my nation, again repeated, are being delivered to the sword. Lachin sefok el yarek. There el yarech. Strike your thigh. Yechezkel is told to cry out. Bang his leg in mourning, wail at the top of his lungs. The Dat Mikra explains that Bechol Nisi'ei Yisrael, against all the leaders of Yisrael, is describing the two kings of Yehuda who were already taken by the sword, already killed, and that is Yoshio, the good king who found the Sefer Torah, and Yehoyakim, Yoshio's son. If you remember, King Yehoyakim's son, Yoshio's grandson, is still alive, has not been killed, and is in exile in Babel. And you'll notice so far there's a pattern in this parak. There's a specific nevuah of destruction followed by a dictated reaction of mourning. Hashem is carrying out the destruction through the king of Babel, but at the same time, he is crying that he has to do this to Bini, my son, to Ami, my nation, the one that I love. In the next section, Yotet Kaf Bet, the sword is described again. This is the third paragraph about the sword. The first one is the destruction that the cherev will bring. The second one is how the cherev looks. And this is the path of the cherev. Yechezkel is told this time in the beginning of the passage to clap his hands together in mourning as he says this nevuah. This third paragraph explains the Dat Mikra is the sword of the Chorban, the one that will kill Tzidkiyahu and his children, the one that will destroy the Beit HaMikdash and many, many people living in Judea. Yechezkel describes the slaughter that the sword will bring as it comes through the gates of the city and does his job. In the next section, we picture the king of Babel holding the sword, and he's standing at the crossroads on his way to fight. There's a break in the road. Two roads diverged in a wood. One road leads to Ammon and bypasses Yehuda, and the other road leads to Yehuda, and then eventually he'll go to Ammon. The king of Babel doesn't know which way to go. He's thinking about it. He consults his trophim, his idolatry. He shoots arrows and he sees where they land. And finally, he decides through his witchcraft to go right towards Yerushalayim. Pasuk of Zion 27, Bimino haya kesem Yerushalayim. In his right hand was this divination, this witchcraft that tells him to go Yerushalayim, lasum karim, liftoch peh baretach, to set a battering ram against her, to open the mouth in slaughter, laharim kol betruah, to lift up the voice with shouting, Lasim karim al sha'arim, to set the battering ram against the gates, lishboch solila, livnot diayek, to cast up mounds, to build forts. He decided Yerushalayim, and now he is going to capture it. He thinks that it's his witchcraft and divination that chose Yerushalayim. He could as well have skipped it and gone on to Amon, but actually, says Yechezkel in the next pasuk, it's not him at all. Pasuk kavchet v'haya lahem kekesem shav be'enehem shu eshu ot lahem b'hu mazkir avon lihitapes. It's a false divination, says Yechezkel, the ones they have sworn oath to them. But really, it's because of avon. It's because of sin that you are going to be captured. It's not him, says Yechezkel, it's me. Like Yeshayahu says about the king of Ashur who destroyed the northern kingdom and the 10 tribes, he's just a tool in my hand. I am actually the one holding the sword. I'm the one judging you for your sins. This is the punishment that you deserved. You are not being destroyed by the king of Babel. You are being destroyed by your own deeds, by the corrupt society that you established, by the Avodah Zarah that you have done. Ava, ava, ava asimenu, says Pasuk Lamed Bet, a ruin, a ruin, a ruin, I will make it. Gamzo lo haya, it's going to be no longer, ad ba asher lo hamishpat unitativ, until he comes, who I have given the judgment to him, and I will give him the city. The land of Israel will be in ruins when the sword comes in. This Pasuk contains one of the four triple phrases in Tanakh. This is a very rare form, and it's used only for very strong emphasis, and it fits so well into this parak, which itself has a lot of double language. Cherev, cherev is said twice. Tavach, tavach, to the slaughter, the slaughter. Yechezkel is told his hands to clap his hands twice. Kafel, kafu, tichapel. The many repetitions in this parak, the double words, serve to emphasize the destruction, as well as to give this parak the lyrical quality of a kinah, of a terribly sad poem. As Yechezkel tells and cries about the destruction, the language he uses holds the sadness. Afterwards, in Lamed Gimel through Lamed Zayin, the sword 33-37, the sword turns after Yerushalayim to Bnei Amon, and Bavel destroys them as well. Finally, at the end of the parak, the sword is returned to its sheath. Its killing is over. The destruction and the bloody path is behind it. But actually, that's not the end of the story. Pasuk Lamed Hei says, Hashev el Tara, put it back in the sheath. B'makom asher nivreit ba'aretz mechuratayach eshbot otach. In the land that you were created, in that land, I will judge you. Rashi explains that this phrase means that now it's Bavel's turn to be evaluated and punished. Like Paro before him, like the king of Ashur, the enemy who carries out Hashem's wrath against Bnei Israel is judged as well. And this pasuk tells of the eventual fall of Bavel in the hands of Persia and Media. Before we finish talking about this nevuah, I want to go back to something that's small, but I think important. Yechezkel is originally told to give this parak in mashal form, like many of his other nevuah. Like many of the other Mishalim, he's told to look at the forest in the south and to witness the burning of the trees. It's incredibly important for Yechezkel to say this nevuah straight. We almost never hear Yechezkel's voice speaking back to Hashem, pushing back. We often hear from Yirmiyahu, but not from Yechezkel. And here we do. We hear him say, they're not going to hear it. And Hashem agrees, accedes to his request. Yechezkel's been asked to do crazy things before. Is this one so much worse just to tell another mashal? It's here that we, the reader, can hear Yechezkel coming through his own personality. We hear his anguish about his job. I can't tell another mashal, not when the Chorban is so close. The purpose for a mashal is for people to stop and think, to reflect, to let down their defenses. There isn't time for that anymore. Yechezkel knows that the Chorban is coming. It is imminent. He needs the people to know that it's from Hashem, so they know that they can rebuild afterwards. If they don't know it's from Hashem, then they could just think it's chance, like the arrow of the king of Bavel. It happened to go this way, otherwise he would have skipped them and went straight to Amon. It's not by chance, says Yechezkel. And in this parak, he wants to spell it out. This is his request, and Hashem grants it. He sighs over his nevuah. He mourns over his nevuah. He doesn't want to be the one telling it, but he doesn't want it not to be told. The people have to know. It has to be exceedingly clear. The Chorban is coming. It is not random. It is caused by Hashem because of your actions, your corrupt society. It is not from the king of Babel. It is from Hashem. And from this knowledge, you will rebuild afterwards. Thank you for learning together. Li'ilu Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.